5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Angel, do you know what day it is today? It is Top Text Tuesday. I need you guys to get after it today. I have a $15 gift certificate. Today's winner for Cable's Pub and Grill. And then B-Rad is my only guy right now that could win the whole thing today. We're doing a $50 gift certificate to Cable's to the ultimate winner. And if you don't know the rules of Top Text Tuesday, it's whoever wins three within the current contest. Whoever wins three. And then when a person wins three of these things, we reset, start all over. So B-Rad with a killer text today could take home the $50 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill, or somebody else could put a dent in that and keep this thing going. So, First Advantage text line's 888-530-0043, and I'm giving you the fuel. I'm giving you the Method Flow Products poll question. Here's some fuel. I'm already seeing great stuff from Twitter and Facebook. Who would win if they played this season, CU or CSU? Give me texts on that. What kind of game would that be, Angel? 87 overtimes and finally the refs just flip the coin? You know what? We could still probably get home in time to watch Game of Thrones reruns or something. We could still get home in time to watch Saturday Night Live if we get out of here. Let's just call it 0-0. Nobody wins.
I don't say that. I think some points can be scored. I think you'd probably give the advantage to CU's defense right now. Freshman McCown looked kind of solid. He's getting the second start this weekend, so looks like they might have found their guy there. Obviously, Clay Millen got hurt in the last game, had the backup come in there, so I'd lean CU by like 1 point.
Well, that's like 76% of the Hooligans
give
are saying
like
CU.
Give me like a 3-2 game with a safety.
So any idea of what how much CSU's been, like what the overall combined score is as far as their opponents versus them, CSU? Any give me a random number. See how close you get.
CSU, we're going to go with 34.
That they've scored 34?
Yes.
And then what do you think their opponents have scored combined? Michigan, Washington State, Middle Tennessee, and Sacramento State.
120?
You're not terribly far away. It's just much worse. 164. I just did the quick math before the show. 164-43. The Rams have been outscored. Now, what do you think the Buffs have done on their side?
Let's go 33-140.
173-47. But look at that. They're almost like they're pretty damn close. It's like 10 points. You know, if CU would have given up one more, you know, touchdown or so, we'd be a lot closer. It's CSU 164-43, CU 173-47. I mean, look at these scores. CU lost to TCU 38-13, to Air Force 41-10, to Minnesota 49-7, to UCLA 45-17. CSU scores 51-7 to Michigan, to Middle Tennessee, who apparently is good. They lost 34-19. Washington State 38-7. Sacramento State 41-10. Both teams have pretty much the same season going. They're scoring like 10 or so points a game, and they're allowing pretty close to 40 points a game. That is insanity. So I'm teeing you up. I'm lobbing you guys softballs for Top Text Tuesday. Bring me a take that doesn't suck, and let's have some fun today. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. AA, Brady, CSU would win. CU has no defensive backs to defend Fort Air Raid.
How much Fort Air Raid have we seen?
But we haven't in the offensive line. Doesn't allow for Fort Air Raid to exist. I mean, I'm sorry, that's just where it is right now. Clay Millen, my little birdies are telling me we think he's going to be okay for the Nevada game, but still kind of waiting on all that information. They're off this weekend, so it's probably a really good thing for Colorado State. I don't know. Go vote at thewholeshow.com. I want to see what your guys' thoughts are on this. AA says the Rams would win. That's a text. Is that a top text? I don't know. Give me something, man. Give me some good, something hilarious. Because this is how bad things are getting. This is a question. And it's like, the fans would lose. I don't know if the fans would lose. I'd watch that game.
I'd watch
that game. I mean, it's just absolutely awful, but I would watch that game.
I mean, somebody's got to win.
You can't end it in a tie. It's not the NFL. I'm trying to find some of these comments, but they're just gone. And on our Facebook page, if you guys bring that message onto the Facebook page, you might just win a $15 gift certificate to Cable's Pub and Grill. First Advantage text line's 888-530-0043. Ben says alcohol sales would win.
Very true.
Yeah, you'd have to partake there if you were going to watch this game. 0-0 after 15 overtimes. 0-0 after 15 overtimes. Coin flip to determine winner would land on its side.
Let's just have Ralphie and Cam run a race.
Race off. Yes. Mike says, I don't know who would win, but the fans in attendance would lose. Like I said, I don't know. I mean, that's one of those games where it's like, it's so bad that it's good.
I mean, there's some bragging rights. You want to have some state pride. Like, oh, CU beat CSU. Oh, the Rams beat the Buffs.
Well, and right now, they're fighting over who's the worst team. And that's the debate. Well, you've been outscored 173-47. Or we've been outscored 173-47. You've been outscored 164-43. Losers.
Let's compare stadium capacities.
And CU probably hasn't beat there. As far as who's at, like the attendance.
How many people actually show up?
CU's probably got them beat there. Or at least stays. Great text coming in. Noob, it would probably be more exciting to watch an intramural flag football game between the two schools than actually guys who are on scholarships. Just watch random dudes, like just drunken dudes, play for their team. Dixon, if CU and CSU played a game in a forest, would anybody hear it? Sorry to be negative Nancy, but nobody really cares at this point. See, and I don't know about that. I would watch that game. Yes. The crap bowl. We would be in on that, man. Eastside Chris, it hurts as a CU grad to go with CU. Or a CSU grad, excuse me, to go with CU. Double A, why does CU get the benefit of the doubt? They are trash. Valor Christian and Denver would beat them both. Don't argue. I don't disagree with you on that. They get the benefit of the doubt. Here's why. Purely because of math. That's it. CU has scored 4 more points than CSU. But then again, they've allowed 10 more points. So they do wash out. That washes out. They are dead even. And I'm kind of with you. Now we have to go to mascots. Well, sorry, but Ralphie's winning that battle. Unless Cam, like, learned some jiu-jitsu or whatever it is. Jiu-jitsu, is that what it is?
Jiu-jitsu.
Karate? Some Cobra Kai stuff? That's where
that's
we're
going to... That's how we settle this. Karate tournament.
Karate tournament between Carl Durrell and Jay Norvell.
I can see that.
That would actually be a good karate match. Both of those dudes look like they could do karate. No question about it. That's where we're at in this world of college football, locally. CSU has intentionally not unleashed the air raid as they are saving it for the big matchup against Hawaii and didn't want to give them film. That's good. I like that text.
Didn't you play Nevada before Hawaii?
Yeah, but they're saving it. They're saving it for that.
Because Nevada already knows.
Yeah, Nevada already knows all about that. So, you know, there's no hiding it from them. But if you go with, hey, we're going to air it out against Hawaii. I mean, okay. Are they both going to go over? Are they both losing every game?
I think CSU can get one game.
Well,
two,
Nevada,
maybe.
Utah State, and Hawaii. Okay, when I did my predictions, which I'm not alone on this, I thought Middle Tennessee, Sacramento State, Nevada, Utah State, Hawaii. 5 wins would be a solid season. That's where I was. Well, you've lost 2 of the quote-unquote sure things. Now, after the Sac State loss, I'm not so sure there's a win there. If there is a win there, it's within the next 4 weeks. They have a bye this weekend. They play on October 7th, late night, 8:30 game at Nevada. The Buffs have Arizona this weekend, and Arizona's, what, 500 right now? Then Cal. Cal's 3-1. Oregon State, much better than we thought. They're 3-1. Arizona State, there's your chance. Oregon, USC, Washington, Utah. So it's Arizona State, right? That's your shot.
That's a brutal November stretch there.
Oh, what do you think the scores of those games are going to be? We might see one game 103-47. No, I don't. I don't think somebody's scoring 47. I don't think the Buffs are scoring 30. Have they scored 30? No, they haven't scored 30. They haven't scored 20 yet. The Rams have scored more in one game than CU. We got the Lonster on the First Advantage Hotline. Lonster, what is happening, man?
Hey, not too much. I'm outside enjoying the weather here.
I love it, man. It's still warm out there, though. I'm a little too pasty. Oh. I need cooler weather.
Yeah, well, you know what? I had to kind of go up in the shade here a little bit because sun was kind of beating down there quite a bit there.
You got to be careful. Dude, put that sunscreen on. Get that SPF 50 or whatever, man. Just take that on.
You know what? I'm going to get some SPF something. I don't know what, you know.
What's on your mind, man?
Hey, on this poll question, I'll tell you what. I don't think anybody would win this game. I think it would go 24 hours a day.
They just keep playing it, man.
Yeah, until everybody passes out in the field or something. You
That's
know?
What I'm saying. It would be fun. We wouldn't see anything like it. 71% now saying the Buffs. So the Buffs are getting all the love on this poll today. This is probably the most love that they've received this season.
Well, I think it'll be fun to see who gets the coin flip and see what they do.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Lonster, what's for lunch today, man? I'm hungry.
You know what? So am I. I think it's both of us.
What do you got?
Hey, I'm going to have some quesadillas and some crackers and maybe some cherry tomatoes if I can find some in the refrigerator.
What's going on in those quesadillas? Like, what? We're putting some extra stuff on there?
Oh, yeah, put meat and salsa and whatever else that we can put scringe into that thing.
I love it, Lonster. Hey, big Friday coming up. Crazy Carl's Pizza's hooking us up, making sure we get out to cover the doubleheader at Canvas Stadium this weekend, man. So I'll be out there doing my show. It's going to be fun.
Well, you know, it's going to be fun. I'll be listening to you guys. Well, I'd be going to the Loveland game Friday, so I'll be listening to you guys at the Loveland game there.
The best of both worlds. Lonster, appreciate you, man.
There you go. Hey, no problem.
All right, Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank Banking Made Simple. The good, I'm just going to, you know what? I'm going to do some bragging here. I've needed this. I've needed a good local week, and I got it. 5-1 over the weekend for my local picks. Yes, I lost the CSU one. In fairness, I think a lot of people lost that one. So 5-1. Feeling good. Feeling fantastic. One game under 500 now. So I climbed back up. The goal was to get to 500. Now we're going to go over that this weekend. We don't have the Rams to worry about. We got a lot of interesting games coming up, so we'll get to that. The bad for me, that Monday night game last night, whatever. I mean, it was boring, but the fact that the Giants have lost 7 straight on Monday night football, they just do not do well under the bright lights of Monday Night Football. Did you catch it when Jimmy Kimmel was on there with what's his face?
I think that was right about the time I fell asleep watching this game. I tried to stay up. Like, I got through like halfway to the third, and I couldn't do it. It was 6-6.
It was a weird. Well, Kimmel gets on there. Obviously, they're promoting. I guess his ratings aren't doing very well. So he's promoting his show, and he goes, "Yeah, they kicked me off of Monday Night Football once. I was on here with Kornheiser. Is he still do this with you?" He asked that, and Buck's like, no, not this program. How about Troy Aikman, bro? I mean, I don't know if that was a joke, but it didn't come off as one. So, okay, let's leave Jimmy Kimmel off of Monday Night Football, please. And the ugly, of course, is the fact that we're asking this poll question not in a fun way, in a very making fun of way. CU or CSU, it is bad. I didn't think it was going to be this bad for either team. I didn't think the Buffs were going to be a good team. I thought the Rams would be a decent team at this point. I thought the Rams would be, what, 2-2 at this stage? And then you'd be going, wow, they got a big stretch coming up where they can win some games. So, totally floored by, totally thrown off by this Rams team. I get that it's a rebuild, total tear down, rebuild this thing, but it's ugly. And that's the good, the bad, the ugly. Presented by FMS Bank, banking made simple. How about this guy, Angel? Our whole show player of the week, presented by Zwei Brewing, is none other. Back to Good, the Bad, the Ugly. Is none other than Elijah Dotson, the running back for the UNC Bears. Monster game by him. He had 208 all-purpose yards, a touchdown, also a punt return for a touchdown. 102 rushing yards, 24 receiving yards, and an 82-yard punt return for a touchdown. That is our whole show player of the week, presented by Zwei Brewing. So we're going to try to get Elijah on the program later this week. It's cool to see a Bear there. We haven't had a Bear there since basketball season. So good to have Elijah Dotson in the mix. All right, we're going to take a short break, 21 minutes after the hour. Let's get to the Broncos. Broncos find a way. And Russell Wilson steps into the kitchen for the first time this season. We finally saw some cooking. Is that a sign of things to come? Or should we be concerned about our big paid, high paid quarterback, Mr. Unlimited? 21 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Sunday and Monday Night Football are on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Listen, despite us battling back and forth, the game was so close. It was in striking distance, and we just kept staying on it. And, you know, really in the fourth quarter, I had to kind of, you know, use my legs and kind of take over and just try to move around and find some first downs. And then, you know, Kendall Hinton, you know, making that big play. I went left. I guess I can still go left, but I went left and, you know, hit Kendall on that. That was a big play by him. And then we had the run call, and I ended up changing the play to Cortland. He made a great play on that one-on-one. The line did a tremendous job of battling that whole drive and us just believing. And then obviously Melvin Gordon getting in the end zone. That was pretty huge how he walked in the end zone there. But I think
there's Russell Wilson talking about that final drive there. And that was, we finally saw Russell Wilson do the things that I think we expected him to do earlier this year. So I want to get to that. First Advantage text line, though, is 888-530-0043. It is Top Text Tuesday. I got a $15 gift certificate up for grabs to Cable's Pub and Grill here in Greeley. They make Top Text Tuesday possible, and we are rocking this thing today. Dixon says, for the record, I did make the call weeks ago that there was a chance they both go winless. I mean, we still have a season ahead of us, though, Dixon, although I'm laying it out. The Rams have some winnable opportunities. I don't know that the Buffs really do. Noob says, the real winners would be the bars around the school, because the more you drink, the better the game looks. Probably. Our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Who would win if they played each other this year? CU or CSU? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. This one from Chris in Fort Fun. Yeah, we all thought the Rams should be 2-2, but look at the two teams we thought they'd beat. Middle Tennessee just put it to Miami, the one in Florida, thank you. And Sac State is a top 10 FCS team, and those teams could easily run with half of the FBS teams. Overall, a really tough non-conference draw for the Rams to start the season. It's not a bad point. You know, Middle Tennessee doing that to Miami does change things about that game a little bit. And the fact, you know, that was the most Fort Air Raidy offense that we saw for CSU was against Middle Tennessee when they scored 19 points. What was it in that third quarter? Made it interesting. Almost got it, you know, driving down to make it a one-score game. Couldn't do it, but you're right. Chris and Fort Fun's looking at the glass half full. Maybe that's the way to look at it here. Middle Tennessee obviously was not a gimme, and look what they just went and did to Miami. Sacramento State, also a team that might go on to do some pretty special things this season. Now they're 3-0. And Big Sky teams, good Big Sky teams, are typically pretty good. The Montanas, Montana States, now the Sac States. Like, those teams can go beat okay, you know, FBS teams. They can do it. You know, and it's happened. It happens to CSU, certainly. I actually think CSU wins. But then again, I don't know. That offensive line is just is rough. So go vote on theholeshow.com. That's our Method Flow Products poll question of the day. Russell Wilson ended the game 20 of 33, 184 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked four times, but he did run for, you know, whatever it was, 17 yards, that big carry late. That final drive, everything positive from the Broncos in that scoring drive to ultimately win the game was because it was a broken down play. Russ didn't settle for his three-step drop and look around. He stepped up into the pocket, started moving around, and that was when you started to see vintage Russell Wilson. Will we see that anymore? Is that his style of play anymore? I mean, that why wasn't he doing it earlier? Why wasn't he doing it in, earlier in that game? There were many opportunities to see Russell Wilson do that stuff. Is he trying to preserve himself somehow? Is he trying to not overdo it by running all over the place and just kind of take his time within this offense? Let this offense, you know, before you start taking off, let the full play out, so to speak, before he's moving around. He doesn't have a lot of time to do that. The offensive line run blocking has been all right. Pass protection, obviously not fantastic. Garrett Bowles has kind of fallen back into some bad habits. But that last possession should give you hope. And now everybody, like the naysayers, the ones that are like freaking out about the Broncos, oh, well, the Niners, Jimmy Garoppolo was awful. The same people were like, oh, Jimmy Garoppolo, man, all he did was take this team to the two NFC championships in the last 4 years, and he took him to a Super Bowl, and he's pretty good still. So, yeah, the same people that are just like, he was awful, were the same ones saying, you know, he's still a decent quarterback. He was able to lead this team, or help lead this team, deep into the playoffs pretty much every single season. But is that also just this Broncos defense was so good? I mean, I know Elijah Dotson was my player of the week, but Randy Gregory was in this mix. Randy Gregory has been fantastic. And a lot of the talk, like, about Von Miller after that first Bills game was, oh, man, the Broncos really screwed up here. You know, is Randy Gregory really the guy? Well, he had a huge sack in that game. Two quarterback hits. He's constantly getting after the quarterback and putting pressure, and it is allowing Bradley Chubb to do some big things too. I mean, starting the season for both of those guys, you know, they've had some good numbers. And, you know, you got to be happy with what you're seeing on the defensive side. This defense, save for one half against Seattle, has been lights out. Bradley Chubb leads the team with three sacks. You got Draymond Jones and Randy Gregory both with two, but they have been getting after the quarterback, forcing fumbles too, left and right. I mean, how many have they forced so far? Six? This team is just aggressive, and they go at it hard. So are you more optimistic about this team than you were before Sunday Night Football hit, or less? B-Rad chiming in. He's trying to get that $50 gift certificate. B-Rad has two of these, Angel. If he can win number three, he gets 50. CSU this season, 43 to 164. CU this season, 47 to 173. Air Force, 154 to 61. And so I already said that. I'm not giving you credit for the first two, because I opened the show with those numbers, except for Air Force, 154 to 61. I'll give you some credit there. Digging that up. All right, 33 minutes after the hour. I was at Denver Nuggets Media Day yesterday. Shout out to Brian Kentfield for filling in for me so I could get down there. And that was fun. We're going to talk to Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets, kind of get what stood out to him about the Nuggets, about the press conference and everything, and what his expectations are for the Nuggets. We'll talk to Brendan next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hey, it's Andrew Bogish from CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Well, we saw the Colorado Avalanche on Sunday in their preseason game. We're getting set to see the Denver Nuggets already. I don't know why it feels like it all snuck up on us. We're all knee-deep in football and everything, but I absolutely cannot wait. The Nuggets take on Oklahoma City Thunder next Monday for their first preseason game. Joining me now, Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets, our Nuggets insider here on the program. Brendan, it was good to finally meet you in person yesterday, my man.
Yeah, no kidding. I was piecing it together with context clues. I think that's him. Nice to finally meet you, man. And nice to be back in the full swing of things here with Nuggets season just around the corner, really.
No question about it, man. So many reporters there. It was my first media day in 2 years because I didn't go last year. So I just like to sit and observe and listen to the players. And, man, I got to tell you, going to college media days, football media days, whatever, even basketball, that's so much fun when you have guys like that cutting it up. I mean, every single one of them had offered up some kind of comedy piece. It was so entertaining.
You know, I think that was maybe the value in pairing them together like the Nuggets did. Sometimes media day is more kind of like a fair with little stations you stop by. And
yeah.
There's value to the sidle, potential there, but having them paired off, you got to see the friendships, the chemistry blossom. And it's a small detail, but this team has not always had a ton of personality. For however fun they've been to watch and cover, there have been some quiet guys that go through the locker room. Richard Jefferson infamously called it a boring roster when he was the resident vet. So we've come a long way from that iteration of the Nuggets. This team, they've got a little spunk. They've got some personality. And it's a nice change of pace.
Oh, no question. And I agree with you 100%. What a great move by the Nuggets PR crew or whatever to put them all together. I also feel weird like when there's tons of media members surrounding five or six or seven guys and then moving around to some of the other guys maybe that aren't getting the play, the younger guys. So I always feel bad for those dudes that got like four reporters surrounding them. So
right.
I liked that portion of it too.
It was great. It was great. Everyone got equal shine and also just seeing guys paired off in ways you wouldn't imagine. Most notably, Vlatko Chanchar and Bones Highland, which is a little bromance we didn't know we needed in our lives. Vlatko just staring at him the way we do when he talks. He's just, wow, look at the star power on this kid. So it was really fun, man. So kudos to Nuggets PR for changing it up. And while I wish we could get someone on one time, that was a great, I think, way to show the team to the fans.
Okay, so we all know that media day, they're fun or whatever. You take, everybody wants to be the best. Coach Malone said we want to be the top five defense. But it's really you've got to read in between the lines to kind of get the theme of the media day. What's the feeling around this team? What was that for you when you're listening to these guys talk and Coach Malone's up there with Calvin Booth? What did you take away from it? If anything, did you take something really meaty away from media day yesterday for the Nuggets?
Well, I think the car is back on the road. The train is back on the tracks. There's a palpable sense of excitement that's got a little relief mixed in there, I don't think anyone would have said it explicitly last season, but it was a slog. It was unlikely to end any better than the way it did, and they all just had to get through it. But as Bones said, teary-eyed when he saw Jamal out there on the court, I think there's a renewed sense of purpose and direction when it all feels possible again. So when we last heard from Malone entering the offseason, he said he wanted this organization to start operating like a championship, team with championship aspirations from top to bottom. And I think they are. They got that vibe to them. It's all possible again. So let's embrace this and attack this head on.
Didn't you just love it, too? I mean, we're all kind of sitting there waiting for the next pair to get in there. And in walks the giant that is Nikola Jokic. And then right with him, Jamal Murray. I mean, seeing it going, okay, there's the leaders back together again.
Yeah, it was a moment where I realized how long it's been since even I'd seen them together. And it's the very best visual for the fan base, of course. You see them joking. You see them having fun. I'm sure it was really hard on Jokic to not have Murray out there last year. And he's admitted as much. So seeing them together, seeing smiles on Murray's face, and a very lighthearted Jamal Murray, maybe with a refreshed energy and perspective on the whole deal, not just being a star-like player, but also dealing with the media and the fans and all of it.
Yeah, no, that was what I kind of noticed, too. Those two, I mean, they just seem very comfortable with each other. And everybody, you know, just seem kind of comfortable with the group that they have. I know they talked a lot about getting together, playing paintball. We know Aaron Gordon went to go see Nikola Jokic play a game or two over the summer. Like, I don't, I mean, maybe those things were happening. I just don't remember hearing about it like the way we're hearing about it. Like you said, maybe it was boring. Well, I don't know. But this is a group that's having fun together.
You know, one thing Malone mentioned that it was kind of a curious line. He said last year it was the worst September they had under his tenure. And I don't remember him talking about it that way at the time, in the moment. And in hindsight, really, maybe there was, look, they knew what that season was going to be from the jump, perhaps. But I think he brought that up with the point of juxtaposition in mind, this being a great September for the team. I mean, Jeff holding the workout over the summer, Aaron Gordon hosting a practice at his warehouse, the paintball, all of it. These guys, I think, you know how it is when you're excited to come to work every day, when you've got a great team of producers or a co-host with you. There's nothing about it. You wake up, you're so excited, and you're just ready to get to work. And I think this team has that perspective on basketball again. So it's pretty exciting.
I loved it, though, just hearing different opinions, takes on the team. When Bruce Brown was out there, I loved what, you know, hey, he's like, hey, there's no secret, man. I was brought here to play some defense.
Yeah, he knows exactly who he is. On and off the court, that's what I liked about him. You know, we asked him if he's okay with moving from a KD-led Brooklyn team and all those headlines to a team like Denver, you know, a flyover organization, if you will. And he wasted no time. He loved it. He's a laid-back guy. It's a better fit for him. You know, Jeff Green said the same thing when leaving Brooklyn for Denver. Of course, we've got DeAndre Jordan here now as well. I think it's a slightly appealing thing for some of these guys. You get to play with the MVP. You get to chase the title. But you don't have to get asked about Kyrie Irving every day.
Right.
And I'm sure that's a relief.
Well, and I mean, even, you know, with the media members there, I mean, there wasn't a lot of overwhelming questions to each guy about Nikola Jokic. It was about them and what they thought they were going to bring to the team or whether or not DeAndre Jordan could jump and dunk. Dude, I felt bad. He's like, what do you guys think? I'm like 90 in a wheelchair up here. I can still jump.
I loved when he said, I thought you guys were on our side. Yeah, we managed to alienate one of the most likable guys in the league in 5 minutes. So good job, everyone. But listen, I don't know how well he can still play. I'm not a huge fan of the signing. But everyone, and I mean everyone around the league, loves that guy. And so I was really excited to find out why that is firsthand. And you can tell he's got charisma. He's engaging. He makes... Like, this is going to sound like a really small thing. He makes direct eye contact with media members when they're talking, when he's talking. Mm. I think he's a likable guy. And even the personality he brought out of Jeff Green, which we haven't seen much of before, I think we might come to like his presence, even if we don't love the signing.
I think that's a great point, too. And again, this is what I've noticed. I'm not saying a lot of other teams are just complete jerks and all that stuff, but DeAndre Jordan, very considerate. I love that you have Michael Malone and Calvin Booth walk in before they step up onto the podium. They step out in front of the podium and they start shaking hands with especially guys like you that are there every single day. And when they answer a question, they're using your name and referencing you and your coverage. I think that is a great. And I think DeAndre Jordan makes sense with how Michael Malone and obviously now what we're going to see with Calvin Booth want to run their business.
And hopefully that rubs off on some of the younger players. You know, Jamal in particular, when I think when he first got into the league, he was a Kentucky guy. My perspective on his perspective was that he viewed media as kind of the enemy. He had more to lose than gain. But when you see the leaders of the organization, when you see, you know, career vets come in and treat the media that way, it doesn't all have to be this combative political thing. You know, some of these questions, we're just here to celebrate the team. If there's something to criticize, we will. But we understand that fans just want to enjoy their favorite team. So I think as the younger guys see that example, you know, maybe it'll rub off on them as well, and I'm hopeful of that.
Hey, they even went up and shook some of them shook Kisla's hand too, so that's why you know, no things kidding. Are positive there, right?
Yeah, maybe please don't kill me this year, they whisper.
Last one for you, Brendan. Just, you know, again, Michael Malone, Calvin Booth up there. I was shocked when Coach Malone started his press conference. He was involved in a hit and run in the offseason.
Me too, man. A classic Malone, just starting with that.
Yeah, just throwing us all for a loop.
Oh, he knows how to tell a story, and he knows how to command a scrum, I got to say. Yeah, I'm glad they're okay. It was kind of a reminder. It seems like a silly, trivial point, but these are human beings, you know? Mm-hmm. Every second we don't see them out on the court or in the media availability, they are just living their lives, the good, the bad, the ugly, the scary, all of it. So glad everyone's okay. That would have been a rough start to the season, I think.
Yeah, well, and again, that's a great point, too, because we do just think of these guys as celebrities. They're either playing basketball or they're riding a horse somewhere in Serbia. You don't think of them, like, in the supermarket or doing everyday stuff, like just driving down the interstate, dealing with bad traffic that we have to. But they're out there somewhere. They're in that traffic that you're dealing with. So you're right. That's kind of an interesting point. And overall, I really loved hearing from Calvin Booth, too. He didn't do much of the talking, but one of the questions, just so sincere, you know, hey, what do you got to do to, might have even been your question, Brendan, just something about what do you got to do to, you know, be the best you can be for this job. And I love what he said, hey, paint by numbers, man. We got a great coach. We have the MVP. We got a solid young cast coming up. It's paint by numbers for me. I loved that from him.
There is a clear, I think, direction he's heading in. I think it's one Malone appreciates. I don't think there's much. This isn't a magician, you know, holding his secrets and his tricks close to his chest. Calvin Booth wants defense. He thinks defense around Jokic will win a title. He thinks Malone feels the same way. And off we go. You know, as I've said on your program a couple of times, that's going to be for the best at times. We may see the other side of that sword as well. But there's something to appreciate about everyone has their work cut out for them right now, as you said. They know exactly what they need to do. It's just about execution at this point.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. Preseason's right around the corner now, and it won't be that long until we see this team getting after it in real, meaningful basketball. Brendan, love having you on the program each and every week. Love your insight, and we'll look forward to more of that in the future as we start rolling out this season.
My pleasure, brother. We'll talk soon.
Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets. It's just, you know, again, the media day there, it's just a sincere, there's a sense of sincerity there. Like, the players get up there, talk, they're having fun, they're joking around. Joker literally gets up in the middle of his press conference. He sat down, looks over, realizes there's snacks, gets up, walks over, and just puts his back to the media and just starts, like, getting a tray of food. Jamal yells at him. He's like, dude, grab me a grape while you're over there. It just sets the tone. And I'm not saying the whole lifting the Stanley Cup thing again for the reporter with Mr. Chambers, what he did. You can be a fan of these guys as long as you're critical. And I like that with this team because they do open that up. They're trying to win you over a little bit. And it doesn't mean that these writers aren't going to say or write bad things about you eventually. But it certainly opens it up to more of a positive outlook. And there's nothing wrong with that. It was fun, dude. It's crazy to see the Joker just get up in the middle of a press conference, go grab some food.
Is he tall?
He's fairly tall. He's fairly tall.
Were you, like, the shortest guy in that room?
No, because it was, like, 30 reporters. And, okay. You know, radio paper dudes, there's reasons we aren't playing professional sports, Angel. None of us look like it. Except for Chris Dempsey. Chris Dempsey looks like he played, man. I mean, he's got his biceps are bigger than my body. So it was a cool thing. Love doing it. Getting out there and just mixing it up with guys that cover this team. And, of course, hearing from the players and the coaches. 52 minutes after the hour. It's Top Text Tuesday. I got to think Dixon's leading this thing right now. Dixon is in the running to take home a $15 gift certificate. Text in the show. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Cato June, all-pro linebacker, Super Bowl champion. You're listening to 1310 KFKA.
The whole show is back, rocking and rolling here. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios. Dixon says, please ask Noob if he would rather see CU versus CSU or lingerie flag football at the Den. Well, we all know what Noob is going to say on that one. Dixon throwing in a Den reference. The over-under was at 2 today. And we're still working on getting two more. We don't want to break even here. We want to go over it. All right, second hour coming up. We got the Lunch Rush. More on the Denver Broncos' win over San Francisco, the state of Colorado State, and the AFC West standings at this point. Are they as good as we thought? We'll be right back.